Well, we're going to take another study, and this one has to do with comfort and edification. I'm going to review a little bit, though, and we've had something like 15 of these. You might ask, well, why is a one another study applicable for a communion service? Well, if you read 1 Corinthians 11, you would know why. Because we're united with Jesus Christ. You know, Christianity is vertical, but we're united with one another. As that passage there says in Romans 12:5, we're members one of another. So our relationship with one another is very important, even as we take communion. Want to have the heart right towards other brethren. So very important to God. You think about it, how important those blood-bought people are to God and how important our relationship to them is before God. But before we begin, I'll ask Frank if you'd lead us to the throne of grace.
My dear Father, we praise you and thank you for the health that you blessed us with, the opportunity to be here together with our brothers and sisters, and to give you the glory and honor this day, Father. Bless this church. We ask that you bless our pastor as he brings forth the word of God. We pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives in this congregation, Father. And if anyone is not saved today, that they will open their heart to Jesus Christ. Bless all we say and do today. And give you the glory and honor and praise so you so deserve in Christ Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. That's a goal, isn't it? Praise the Lord. To honor Him. And well, it's nice to have such a good group this morning. And I don't often do this, but I want to greet those online and those that I know are online. There's others we don't know. The Coffees and the Nesbiths and Sherry and the Yorks. And I always get in trouble when I make a state names, though, because I forget people. But we welcome you, those that are online, some out of state. And so welcome also, part of our congregation. Continuing, and as we consider the one another's, I'm going to go through this quickly, but it might refresh your memory a little bit. You may be familiar with these. We're members one of another in the body of Christ. And this is a key one. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. You know, all the others are fulfilled if this is fulfilled. Because that's an unconditional, sacrificial, purposeful love that Jesus had toward us, that he wants us to have toward one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How important that is as we take communion. Don't want to be holding any grudges anywhere. And then be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Isn't it true? We've seen Jesus. You know, he came not to be ministered to, but to minister, give his life a ransom for many. Self gets in the background as we grow, where we think about others. That's one of the points of the one another studies. We think about others and be by love serve one another. So it should be proactive, right? And be of the same mind. That's a good one, in unity. Be like-minded toward one, toward another, according to Christ Jesus. The same mind, one toward another. That's the same mind in Christ, right? His viewpoint. We're all different, right? Different personalities. We might even have some different viewpoints. But when the focus is on Christ, we got the same mind. And then here's some that there's several we looked at together, combined. Admonish, exhort, comfort one another. We're going to go into comfort again a little bit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish or instruct one another. And that's through the word, right? And that might be formal or informal. That might be in the lobby, you know. You've got a passage on your heart to share. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, instructing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that a special time? I don't even want to call it the pre-service. It's part of the worship, right? We're singing to the Lord in a united way. That's a glorious thing. We'll be doing that in heaven, you know. And then exhort or entreat one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need one another. Iron sharpens iron. And, you know, it's not just what we say, but it's how we live. that's a it has an influence. You see other Christians, they're in the battle too, you know, trying to please the Lord. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but entreating one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that's a blessed thing, isn't it? We're just passing through. Jesus could come at any time. So good to be in it together, waiting, looking for it. Comfort one another. Support one another with these words. We'll touch on that again regarding the coming of Christ. Admonish, exhort, comfort one another. Wherefore, here's another one. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We want to make sure we do that. Bear ye one another's burdens. I like the picture. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's a hard thing, but that's so important in love to do that. And use hospitality one to another without grudging. There's a lot of people here that do that. And having compassion one of another. And we need that, don't we? And judge not one another. That was a couple times back. Judge not one another. Only Jesus is the judge. Forbearing one another in love. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Okay, now we're on edify one another, although we're looking at three things here, to comfort and to edify and also follow peace. So with that, let's open our Bibles to Romans 14:19. Romans 14:19. We have two passages that we're looking at. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Now, it wouldn't be fair to look at this without the context. In fact, that word therefore, when you see that, you want to consider, what is that there for? And you go back to some previous verses, verse 17, for instance. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. The context has to do with strong or weak brethren and, you know, that which is allowed. Some might have a conscience in those days to eat meat. You know, it might have been offered to an idol, probably was, but it's sold in the marketplace. So a weaker brother said, well, I can't eat that. That's sold in the marketplace. A strong brother said, there's no such thing as another God, that meat doesn't change. But that brother needs to be sensitive to the brother who has a conscience about it. Paul said, I won't eat meat while the world stands unless I make my brother to offend. So that's the context here. And one of the real issues, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, verse 17. Okay, so verse 19, considering that context, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. We don't want to have others stumble. We want to have unity. McDonald says we should make every effort to maintain peace and harmony in the Christian fellowship. It's very important. This is God's will. And so now there are a whole host of passages on this, and I want to finish a little early for communion, but let's cover some of these. Here's one nearby, Romans 12:18, one page back. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, our context has to do with peace in the body. This is more general. And if it be possible, is it always possible? No, it isn't always possible. But if it's possible, we want to have peace with all men. We ought to strive for that. And you think about the wisdom from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of good fruits. And so the book of James. And Hebrews 12:14, well, let's turn to it. I can't quote it all here. Hebrews 12:14. And then we'll go to 1 Peter. Hebrews 12:14. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So we want to follow peace with all. Follow it. And you know the word here, follow, pursue. This is God's will. And then with all men. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. Now, this is quoted from Psalm 34. Peter quotes elsewhere from that psalm about the goodness of God. If so be you've tasted the goodness of the Lord and in the Word. And then 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering... Yes, I have a right passage here. Yeah, I'm leading up to it. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you're therefore unto... that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Pursue it. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? And quoting from Psalm 34, it does talk about the tongue there. Now, what do you think of with Peter? He always had to say something, you know. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't know what to say, but he had to say something. It's good for us to be here. And sometimes it wasn't good. And so Peter, like many of us, he learned some things the hard way, right? He learned, no doubt he did learn, that control of the tongue. And so seek peace and pursue it. We want to be careful about how we use that tongue. And then here we get into the area of edifying. We want to use our tongue to edify. So pursue it. Pursue this peace. And I had to give you a negative illustration. I used to visit a lady years ago. I won't give her name. And she was a believer. In fact, she had Corrie Ten Boom in her home. This is decades ago I visited her. And she had a conflict with another lady, a Christian. It got so bad, I think she had a breakdown. You want to be, just get clear of that type of thing. And speaking evil of one of another and that type of thing. And we got our rights and all of that. McDonald, he says, instead of stumbling others by insisting on our rights, we should strive to build up others in the most holy faith. That's under that subject of edify. But put aside all malice and guile and evil speakings and hypocrisies. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, 1 Peter. So watch the tongue. And God will hold us accountable on that. And now, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. We'll turn to one more here. 1 Thessalonians, but that lady loved the Lord. That lady's in heaven. And we all grow in grace. It's like, she was very sweet. It's like Vernon McGee said, I'm a work in progress. We all are. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, I didn't read that because I'm a pastor, by the way. I read that because you want to have peace in that realm, too. Did you know that the devil tries to put a wedge between the teacher and the taught? And so it goes mutually, right? Maintain a good relationship. When you have that, a lot easier to hear the Bible. And anyway, now you might say, or maybe it's come to your mind, oh, what about this person in my life? Maybe they're not a Christian. What about this person? Maybe they are a Christian. And what do you do? We're not talking about a false peace here. You know, we're not talking about putting a Band-Aid on major error, that type of thing. I know I've given this illustration before, but Valerie's dad, he is a good man, humanly speaking, honest and humble and very likable and religious, but he wasn't saved. And he didn't agree with salvation by grace, so he never came to our church for 30 years. We were married 45 years. He died about 10 years ago. And at the end of that time, though, he had heart trouble. We reached out to him, and he said at a Thanksgiving meal, I think it was, Doug, I agree with you. We're saved by grace through faith. I'm ready for heaven. Will you preach my funeral? After that, he never talked about all the things he did, you know, how people do. But that was hard to have that stance, you know. You'd like to say, Jack, I think you're sincere. Well, that doesn't help anybody, you know. and you don't. So this isn't a false thing. Or how about, and this is a hard part in the ministry, when there's necessary church discipline. And you know the purpose of that always is for repentance and restoration. What happens if it isn't received? You're the bad guy. And but the point is you want real peace, real unity that's of the Holy Spirit, you know, where things are right. So, and sometimes, how about Abraham and Lot? And there was strife. And we know Lot was a believer. Now, he wasn't a believer like Abraham, but Abraham, because there was strife between the herdsmen, he said, you choose your way, I'll go my way, but don't let there be strife between us. And of course, you know the story. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people were sinful exceedingly. And later on, when it got attacked, Abraham bailed him out. He was a brother in the Lord. But you see the point there. Avoid any kind of strife. Pursue peace. And that's God's will. Even, how about Paul and Barnabas? They both loved the Lord. In a sense, they were both right in one way, you know, about John Mark, that he didn't go over those Galatian mountains. He wasn't willing to stick with the stuff. But Barnabas saw, I think there's potential here, and he worked with them. But they went different directions. Okay, let me go on, and I have to move along here. And that latter part of the verse, back in Romans chapter 14:19b, notice it says, and things wherewith one may edify another. Now the word means build up. Bruce says mutual upbuilding. And you know the church is referred to as a building, as an edifice. So you think of it, you know, block by block. That's more of an impersonal analogy, but every stone is important in the building. You know, we've been looking mainly at the body. Every member of the body is important. But we want to edify, build up one another. Now, what is it that edifies? 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. Again, you know, love is the foundation of this whole thing here. Love edifies, and it wants to build up a brother. And 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, let all things be done unto edifying. That's in the context of spiritual gifts. We'll come back to that. And let all things be done unto edifying. How can I build up a brother in Christ? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:19. These things are so important, brethren, and our relationships are so important in the body of Christ. That's the point. And 2 Corinthians 12:19, again, Paul speaking, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. We do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Now, some of that had to do with some hard things that were said, truth that was said, but his point was he wanted them to be built up. Now, how about in a practical sense where we get together, you know, you're together in the lobby. I always love that hum of the people talking, you know. It's good fellowship in the Lord. And let's go to Ephesians 4 on this. And conversation is so important. You probably remember people saying things that edified you. And they were led by the Holy Spirit in what they said. Might just be a comment. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so, let me give you an illustration. Here's one of the statements made to me that I remember years later. There was his name was Reverend Teague. He was with the Friends Church. And one of our families that was in the church in the early days. We had church in our house, and they bought a big house. It was really nice, and I was there to dedicate the house. Well, we lived in kind of a little house, you know, and we had six kids. We're trying to get into a church. And he made the comment, Isn't it so good to be thankful for what God has given us and appreciate it? It's just led by the Holy Spirit, spiritual man. Anyway, we want our words to edify. Our speech, Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Gracious words, right? And that makes me think of Pastor George Black. He was an edifier. Some of you maybe remember, I know the Rose remembered the Blacks. And I don't know any others here do. It goes way back. Pastor Black, he lived to be 101. He was general director of Gospel Mission South America. Until he was 70, they had a rule that you couldn't be the general director. Too old. And so he went back to the mission field and started two churches. And but whenever you were around him, he knew how to edify. And by the way, it's not flattery to say something nice, you know what I mean? or to say something that you can sincerely say to encourage. And he knew how to do that. And very wise man. Now, so in fellowship and conversation, and we want to be prayerful about it, brethren, and purposeful in this. We can ask the Lord, how can I edify? And what are the needs? We might even ask, what are the needs? How can I pray for you? And, we want it to be a spiritual relationship. I hope that Pittsburgh wins. You know, that's fine, you know, and if you're into that. But what's the main issue? And that we be strengthened in the Lord and build one another up. And now, there are a lot of ways, but let's talk about the home. And I got to watch my time. You know, in the home, isn't it good to say some kind words? Maybe show some affection, you know? And or in the church, how are you doing? You know, in other words, a word of encouragement, you know, in the lobby. It's amazing. A handshake with a smile, you know, it can kind of go a long way. There's such a thing as body language, isn't there? And or how about in the neighborhood, visits and outreach, or in school? Some of you are there and when fellowship with other believers. On the job, this is a challenging one. You know, making friends, relational evangelism, or fellowship. You know, Ben has a Bible class there. He's had it for years at BUTEC. And so make it a goal. This is with, you know, and things which one with which one may edify another. Think about the other. What can I say to edify? Now let's go on, because I have to go on. In 1 Thessalonians, our second text, and here we'll come later to edify, as I'm going to go into the means of doing that. But let's consider this first one in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, this is a wonderful thing. Comfort, that word means encourage. It has to do with strengthening, consoling. We all need that, don't we? And sometimes we may really need that. Every Christian has their valleys, you know. Every Christian has their struggles. Doesn't matter who it is. I know in counseling, some, you know, those things are confidential. I realize, wow, this person isn't the only one who struggles this way. And like we heard, well, in the first service, we groan in these bodies, you know. We may have infirmities. We may have trials. We're not beaten like Paul, or imprisoned like Paul. Might happen someday. But we're in a spiritual warfare, and sometimes those inward trials can be greater than the outward. So don't think it's the Christian life is a bed of roses where you don't need comfort, because we need it. Of course, we have the Comforter and the Holy Spirit, and who it means the Parakletos, it means one who's long comes alongside. You know, that word comfort means more than just how we use the word comfort. It has to do with strengthening, supporting, and the Holy Spirit is there to give us that. He's the Comforter who abides with us forever, John 14. But let's go to first of all, 1 Corinthians 14:3. You know, this is one of the great purposes of the teaching of the Bible. And it says that right here. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now we know today we don't have foretelling of truth because the Bible's complete. But we have forthtelling, right? The teaching of the Bible. And three purposes: edification, exhortation, and comfort. And sometimes that will come, maybe not from the teaching from the pulpit, or it might come in a personal way through the Word. Look at Romans 15:4, for instance. I trust as a believer you're in the Word every day, right? We want all the Bible, and we're in Chronicles tonight in a series, and it's interesting looking at some biographical studies. And why study the Old Testament? Here's why. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that aforetime, Old Testament, that we through patience, perseverance, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Isn't it a comfort? I'm reading Job right now. There's comfort in Job. Job really suffered, you know. But Job, he knew God. Though he try me, I will come forth as gold. I know the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And such good stuff in the Old Testament. So the Bible will comfort us, and we always want to resort to it, don't we? The TV won't do it. I watch TV in a guarded way. But the Bible is what will comfort. That's what builds up. And sometimes it's very specific. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Back to 1 Thessalonians. A couple passages right there. In chapter 3 and verse 2. And St. Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So it isn't just that we could feel good, you know. God wants us build up in our faith to be supported. And that's what Timothy would do, you know, as well as Paul. And he, of course, would do it through the Word of God. And sometimes it's a very specific truth in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to read it, but you know it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 is talking about the coming of Christ, how it's imminent at the rapture. These believers lost loved ones in the Lord, and Paul is telling them, well, Christ is coming back. There's going to be a resurrection. We'll be caught up together with them. There'll be a reunion, and I believe that. And therefore, verse 18, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The grave is not the end. All will be well. We'll be with our loved ones. You believe that? I know it won't be the same relationship, but isn't God good enough to do that? I think that he is. Anyway, comfort one another with these words. Now, he uses the Word, you know, as mainly, and of course the Holy Spirit directly. But sometimes he'll use another Christian. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. Here's Paul, very transparent in 2 Corinthians, as we've seen in Ben's good study. In 2 Corinthians 7:5, notice what Paul says. He says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation, same Greek word, comfort, wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. You know, Paul had written an epistle, 1 Corinthians, and it was pretty direct, exhortive. And so he's kind of bound up in his soul, not knowing how they would respond. And he got good news, and it came through Titus. So, now, how about when you suffer? The doctor says, you have cancer. It's a bomb, you know, falls on you. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It might be another brother who's had cancer or has cancer would understand that, be able to comfort you, support you. in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Okay, he's a God of all comfort. But notice, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God gives you comfort. He gives you grace and trial. You know what that is, to go through that. Well, then he can use you to comfort others. So, but we need this, brethren. We need the mutual encouragement of one another. We're members one of another. It ought to be something that we also seek. Wherefore, by the way, I didn't look at the context as I meant to. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 on this, notice a couple verses before verse 11, verses 9 and 10, 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. It's very similar to 1 Thessalonians 4:18. We're not going to go through the tribulation time. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever we go through now is the worst we'll ever go through. He's going to come back and take us home. It's a blessed hope, living hope, sure hope. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The world, they're headed for big trouble if they don't trust Jesus Christ. If you're here today and if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, today's the day of salvation. Don't miss heaven. Don't miss the rapture, because now's the day. And Jesus died for our sins. He rose again so that we could have heaven and not have any condemnation. Well, we got one more. And the 1 Thessalonians 5:11b, we're coming back to edification. And I want to go into the means more here. Notice it says, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, it again means to build up one another. Remember before we looked at love is behind that, our speech, our fellowship. But we want to edify through the word. And let me just quote Acts 20, where Paul was leaving Ephesus. And he knew he was a prophet, you know, as well as an apostle. He knew he wouldn't see them again. And so he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. You know, no man is inexpendable. Is that? Men are expendable. But God's word, that's our stay. That's what we lean on, and that's what Paul is committing to them. And let's go to Ephesians, if you will, verse 12, after it speaks about the Lord giving gifts of apostles and prophets and pastor and evangelists, pastor teachers. He gives the purpose of these teaching gifts in Ephesians 4:12. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These should be building up times, right? Equipping, by the way, for all who are in the work of the ministry. Now, we all have different gifts. And as we come together, we want to exercise those. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:12. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Of course, you know the problem with the Corinthians. They all wanted to be heard, maybe at the same time. I won't go into how. But notice what Paul says. 14:12, he says, for even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And there's a whole lot of gifts going on here, I know that. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, where you exercise those spiritual gifts to build up the body. And I should have stayed back in Ephesians 4, because in verse 16... I won't read this whole section, but Ephesians 4:16, maybe I will. Let's go on to read verse 13. Okay, there's the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is all result of the teaching ministry of unto a perfect mature man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For from whom, now notice this, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, unto the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, that's where you get into personal discipleship. Now, it could be informal in the lobby, edifying with the gifts, or it could be like we're using the Essentials of Christianity study, and it's interactive, and it's relationships are built, and it also brings spiritual growth. So that's a way to edify. Vernon McGee said, we should be a team working together, edifying each other with the Word of God. Remember that thought, with the Word of God. And now, it's ideal. It's ideal for the church where there is love and there's pursuing peace and there's comfort given and there's edification given. It's like a fertile garden, you know. And that's where the blessing of God will be commanded, where there is that unity and a mutual building up. And let's go to Acts 9:31, if you will. Acts 9:31. You know, these one another's are vital to spiritual growth. Again, because our relationship with one another is vital to spiritual growth. 9:31. Then had the churches rest. This is following intense persecution. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So now in our passage, I don't want to neglect the last phrase where he says edify one another. He says, even as also you do. It's a word of encouragement. Then I trust that you do. But we could always grow in this, couldn't we? We could always improve and when it comes to edifying. So important, brethren, to do these things for one another. We're members one of another. We're united to Christ. We're united to one another. And as we think about Jesus Christ on the cross and communion coming up, and you think about his whole life, in Romans 15:3, it says he pleased not himself. It was all about others. And we studied last week, Mark 10:45, that Jesus said that I came not to be ministered to, but to minister, give my life a ransom for many. It was all about others. Well, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want to be Christ-like, right? It's kind of the goal of the Christian life. We want to honor God. We want to be like his son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. It ought to always be others we're thinking about. Now, I realize we got our responsibility. We have our homes, you know. And our family's our first ministry, too. You know, I'm not saying that. But that includes others, too, doesn't it? Where, what can I do? Edify my wife, my children. The Word of God, that's a good one. But prayer together and fellowship together. You know, it's not like the guy that's dying and he's been worked himself to death and he doesn't say, oh, I wish I'd have worked more. No, it's I wish I'd have more time with my family, you know. I wish I'd have been with the body of Christ in church more. And, you know, it's about people. That's what God's interested in. It isn't all this materialism either. No, souls. People, God's people that he died for. And so we want to think along those lines, you know, even in communion. I remember this, I realize this is a time of remembrance of Christ, but don't forget the one another's. Father, we thank you for this time together in the Word. We thank you for your Word and how it instructs us to live. Help us to have a right perspective. Help us, Father, to think of others, to think of one another. And what can we do? What can we do to to edify, to pursue peace, to comfort. And so lead us in this way. And again, bless this time as we enter into the communion. We could do it in an honoring way. We know none of us are worthy, but we can do it in a worthy way. As sinners saved by grace, coming with thankfulness. And so bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.